नान्यस्पृहा हृदि मे स्मदीये सत्यं वदामि च भवान् अखिलांतरात्मा भक्तिं प्रयच्य नरपुंगव निर्भरामे कामादि दोषरहितं कुरु मानसं च। Today we are taking the stringent aspects of our sadhana, and slowly the audience is thinning out. The continuation of this talk will be reflected in the tomorrow's evening talk, Desiring and Deserving. Everybody wants. The want is there inside, but nobody asks whether we are fit to want. So in this shloka, Tulasidasa gives a hint about the state of the sadhaka's mind, a very frank and a open admittance of his own weakness. It is as if it's spoken for all of us. He says, Nanyaspriha, Rama, I don't have any desires. We also tell, we want only Guru Maharaj. Hridime smadiye, there is inside the heart no other thought. This is the truth. Tulasidas tells, there is no desire in my heart, and actually I want you only, Rama. And I am telling the truth, not because that I stick to truth, but you have the capacity to find out what is inside my heart, because you are the Akhilantaratma, so I cannot tell a lie. So compelled by the nature of God, Tulasidas is forced to admit the state of his heart, that I don't have any desire and there is no lie in this statement of mine. Because if I tell a lie, you, the Antaryami, will quickly find out. So the voice of conscience, what they call Manasachi, Antaratma ki avaj, as Mahatma Gandhi used to say, listening to the inner voice, this conscience, that is the voice of God. But in most of us, the voice of God, our conscience, has become a feeble whisper. Many of the time we think what we desire, that itself is the voice of God or voice of the conscience. We misinterpret, mistake. My conscience is very clear, everybody says, but it is not easy to keep the conscience clear without sufficient practice. And that practice has to be assisted and supplemented by some more qualities. But in short, Tulasidas gives an indication that, Rama, in my heart my desire is that I want you only. Nanyaspriha hridime smadiye satyam vadami. Here I cannot lie because you are the indweller of my own heart. If I tell a lie, you will find out. That is the reason I am telling the truth. Otherwise, he would be caught. After that, he makes a very profound statement. Bhaktim prayachanara pungava. Give me bhakti. Why Tulasidas is praying for bhakti? Because as great as a jnani like Shankaracharya, in the famous Viveka Chudamani, after describing this sadhana chatushtaya, he comes to bhakti. Bhakti is the easiest way to attain the thing we want. Swatma tattva anusandhanam bhakti ritya pare jaguhu. Here bhakti means not to be taken in the dualistic aspect of bhakti, a devotion to a god with form. Here bhakti means when the two different forces of the personality, they combine together and flow homogeneously. Tulsidas gives indication to that, that inside the heart my desire is that I seek you, Rama, but I am not able to really go for it. Why? Kamadi dosha rahitam kuru manasam cha. Though my heart wants this, that is the conflict inside our personality between the heart and the mind. One is the rational and another is the emotional. Whenever there is a conflict between the heart and the intellect, Swamiji says, always follow the heart. But it is not easy to follow the heart, because we are where our heart is. But when the heart starts functioning, the mind comes in between. With all the past impressions, it will make us go against our own wish. Though we want to go to Rama, mind says, fellow, hundreds of kamas, desires, you only thought about these desires, you had so many aspirations, ambitions, and mind will come out with a list of desires. First fulfill this, you decide now, did you not want these desires? Like, yes. Then suddenly why you are turning there? No, my heart wants, your heart wanted these things in the beginning. Now they all got lodged in the unconscious, subconscious realm of our mind. So when the heart wants to go towards God, a sadhaka, the aspirant, finds that it is difficult for him to plunge forward. Moment he wants to go forward, the habitual tendency of the mind pulls him down. And then there is a conflict. A struggle ensues inside his mind. That struggle is quite shattering, because the mind wants, no, heart wants and the mind doesn't want. How to make the mind and heart unified? That is where bhakti comes. Bhakti is a unified flow of the whole personality. The heart and the mind becomes one, and therefore the conflict ceases. Heart is the wife, mind is the husband. Wife wants to come to Ramakrishna Math, husband says, what about the preparations? You have to send the children to the school, I have to take the tiffin to the office, you are running behind the ashrama. When bhakti comes, and if we are fortunate, the husband and the wife, both of them, they turn out to be devotees of Sri Ramakrishna. And when the wife wants to come to the ashrama, husband says, okay, pray for me also. I will come in the evening. So the combination of the heart and the mind is one of the important thing in our spiritual life. We hardly understand this. And even after desiring God in the heart, emotional aspect is so strengthened, but unable to proceed forward. Sri Ramakrishna, the genius as he was, he gives a very beautiful picture of this state of mind. He says, during our younger days in the Kamarpukur villages, we used to find mongoose roaming here and there. And these naughty, mischievous children sometimes will catch hold of the mongoose, tie a 3 feet rope onto the tail of the mongoose, and at the other end they will tie a brick. Not knowing this, the mongoose will climb the wall. Up to 3 feet it will go. Pulled down by the weight of the brick, again it will come back. Again it will go, and again it will come back. Are we not doing the same thing? We go, and then again we come back. Again we go, we come back. Always on the square number 1. Because in spite of the craving of the heart to be united with the God, even for us also, last 4-5 years I am telling, I don't meditate on Kashi Vishwanath, I meditate on Cash Vishwanath. Because so much of workload is there, we want to finish it, and therefore every time we want to put the mind, even during the preparation for these talks, I used to feel half the mind is there in the building of the ashrama. Once that is over, kama adi dosha rahitam, Rama, all these kamas, the desires are the agenda which we have kept in the mind, which we want to fulfill, it is lying hidden in the mind, janma janma antare. Hundreds of births, we had so many desires, because the personality of man is a combination of the heart and the head, heart and the mind. So the whole thing must be combined, and bhakti is where there is no contradiction. Heart gets the prema, mind has accumulated the kama, the desires. So bhakti is, Narada says, Satu asmin parama prema swarupa. We have now adhama prema. What is the adhama prema? Attachment to the worldly things. They are also prema. I like my child, I like my husband, wife, so many things. We have got adhama prema. That is the mind running towards the objects of the senses. Though it may look very insignificant, the potency of this tendency of the mind to run behind the things of the world, you will find, acts when we want to meditate or do japa. Exactly at that time, all these thoughts will come, will not allow a sadhaka to proceed forward. How many years we are meditating, is it not? After long years of struggle also, devotees will ask how to concentrate. Yes, it's not an easy thing, emptying the ocean, because mind is a huge sagara. Mind is a real samsara sagara. To cross the mind, bhranti ki pahadi, nadiya beachmo, ahankar ki bahayavat. How to cross this valley, rivers, mountains, and the tornado of ego blowing constantly? It is all inside the mind. Swamiji also gives a very beautiful picture of the mind in the Amba Stotram or maybe Shiva Stotram. Vahati vipula vataha purva samskara rupaha pramadati balabrindam ghurniter ormimalah prachalati kali yugmam yushmat asmat pratiti nata nayana niyuktam neelakantam namamaha. This impressions, accumulated impressions of the old births, all the acts we have done, the thoughts, the words, the deeds, everything are lying hidden, and that is what is coming up when we start to act. The impulse is coming from the heart, but that impulse of the heart must be complemented by refined, purified mind. Mind when purified, when kamas are not there, then it becomes prema. Adhama prema is nothing but kama, desires for things of the world. However we may boast, we are behind Sri Ramakrishna, it's not so easy. Once in the West, Swamiji was attending a lecture by a Christian father. And the father told, give all you have unto Jesus and follow me. And after the talk, collection was made. And whatever collection Swamiji had in the pocket, he had given lecture in the morning, the entire collection Swamiji emptied out in the basket which the person brought. And the lady who arranged the lecture for Swamiji, they asked, oh, Swami, you have emptied the whole thing? Whatever collection we made in the morning for your lectures, you wanted for India, huge collection. No, but the man told, na, give unto me all that you have and follow Jesus. So whatever I had, I have given. But giving unto the Lord whatever we have, it is not so easy. Giving up. So that giving up is emptying oneself, which is a difficult task. We are very fondly holding on to things of our own memories. Memories, though they are like ashes, which cannot cook a food like fire, the memories are so fond, is it not? Again and again, like the cow chewing the cud, we live only on memories most of the time, is it not? The past seems to be so predominant, we refuse to come out of the past, and God is an eternal present. God cannot be caught by the past, and He doesn't have a future, because He is kalatita. And we are kalabaddha, mostly the past extending. Every time you watch yourself, you will find it is the memories that is acting. Even our japa meditation, it has become a memory. Memory means it has got no real fire. It is always the past. When you do an action, at the time of that action, it remains very fresh in the present. After some time, the action, either in the form of a thought or word or a deed, goes back and gets lodged in the subconscious mind. And that is what is guiding the next actions, is it not? You can easily watch it. You can test it. Last 2 years before I tested, whether really mind picks up the things which we do at night and whether it is the same thing we repeat in the morning. Night 10:45, I switched on and watched Enter the Dragon film. I don't know whether you have seen it. It's by Bruce Lee. It's a lovely film, adventurous film without any masala. Long before in the college I had seen it. Just out of curiosity, I switched on. And by 12:30, I went to bed. Early morning, 5 o'clock, when I sat for meditation, I found it is not Sri Ramakrishna, but Bruce Lee who is coming into the meditation. Without my effort, what went inside, with that I came out. So most of the time, what do we go with at the time of night? The whole day's collection of thoughts, is it not? The collection of the thoughts with which we go inside indicates that we are clinging to the happenings of the 24 hours. Otherwise, it will not cling to us. So memory becomes more and more strengthened. Two important things come here. One is, who is a good teacher? A good teacher is one who leaves the board clean after her class is over, is it not? Many times teachers, they leave the class for the next teacher, but the board is full of her teachings. Either she is solving an arithmetic problem or she has written something about biology. She will not clean. So most of us are either mediocre or below standard teachers. We don't rub the mind clean. When the mind is not cleaned, rubbed out, the same thing starts continuing in the early morning. The problem is, when it comes again early morning, it is not the first time. It is the impression that is coming again, and when the impression goes down, it has created a second impression already. Swamiji says, whenever an impression comes inside the mind, and the impression comes back as a thought, know that that impression has already vibrated 20,000 times in your mind. It has vibrated so fast, it's supersonic, we don't understand. Then we want to curb the thought. The best way to curb the thought is leave the blackboard clean. But we are not able to leave it clean. We carry it. So carrying forward. And these things appear in our dream, is it not? So one of the important checks, trials or tests to see how far we are progressing in our spiritual sadhana, they say, is Swapna Shuddhi. The dream will get purified. unwanted, threatening, worldly dreams, or sometimes we get lots of dreams which will keep us worried, or sometimes worries come in the dream and make us more worried. Our own worries, otherwise we will not be able to recognize when anything is new. And new is the most dangerous thing because it is so unknown, uncertain, and therefore God, who is not known to us, is one of the most dangerous thing in the world. All of us are telling we want God because He's not known to us. When unknown things come to us, because we are not familiar with it, it is not within the field of our memory. God is not within the field of our memory. Our imagination about God may be in our unconscious mind, but not the real God. Thought is not God. We are all thinking about Ramakrishna is Ramakrishna, not at all. Thought about God is the distance between me and the God. When the thought collapses, then God alone is. Thought carries with it the thinker, the ego, I am. That is why Patanjali says, Yogaha Chitta Vritti Nirodaha. All the thoughts must subside. Thought is like a photograph. Photograph of my mother is not my mother. It is only a representation. Yet, they say, better to keep that, otherwise we will become wayward. We will be having so many other memories cropping up. Then they say, to keep all other memories away, keep the memory of God. So that memory has to be purified. Smriti Parishuddhi. How to do the Smriti Parishuddhi? So that the remembrance of God alone predominates. You can watch when you travel in the bus, in the train. Simply keep quiet. Don't do anything, but you will find mentally you will be doing hundreds of things, is it not? Whether you want or not, these are the mechanical actions of our own inner organ. Like you switch on, there is no thought, fan will start rotating. Most of us are mechanical. And japa also sometimes becomes mechanical. Whole spiritual practice also becomes mechanical. When it becomes mechanical, then we are caught in the unconscious stream. Consciously, when we do it with alertness, with awareness, then it is the action of the Chaitanya, attended with Shraddha. You know what you are doing with knowledge, with alertness, with awareness we are doing. God is the antithesis of unconscious, is consciousness itself. Most of the time, repeating japa itself, we will be sleeping. It's a mechanical action. For most of us, sleeping also is a mechanical action. Is it not automatically evening we go and sleep? Because we have been doing it for long years. And as you chant the japa or start meditating, the mind becomes little quiet. And the quietness of the mind gets associated with the memory of quietness. When are you quiet throughout the day? When are you quiet? That also we are not quiet, but comparatively the external world is quiet. In the sleep also sometimes I find somebody was scolding another man left and right. I tell, what happened? Oh, bloody boss. I tell, now it's 11:30, 12 o'clock. No, I was just dreaming. The boss has given me something to do. So it's all going on inside. We are not quiet even in the dream. The sleep, we get dream. But at least the external world is shut off. Is it not? As you start sleeping, the five sense organs become quiet. Outside things are not disturbing you. Your own inner things disturb. And after some time, when you start crossing the frontiers of dream world, then you sleep soundly and others are disturbed. Is it not? Last time I was coming, in the compartment, everybody is snoring. Oh, baba. There's a sound sleep and we can't sleep. So, the quietness gets a memory link, and as soon as we start doing japam, we also go there. So that is mechanical. We are not aware or we are not alert. The memory has slipped into the unconscious channel. We came to sit and wanted to do japa, is it not? And slowly we slipped into the unconscious realm. That's how the computer, when it gets corrupted, it slips into some other thing and goes on hanging, that's all, sleeping now. Once when we were in college, we had an NCC camp and we were highly mischievous. So mischievous that by evening 5 o'clock in the compartment, almost all the boys were dead tired. And one of my friend, he was a Gujarati boy, was sleeping on the floor of the compartment. And by 5:30 he started snoring. He was from Santa Cruz, Santu Patel, I still remember. But when the incident happened, I never thought that it will be so helpful for me in future lectures. So as he was snoring, all other boys, we were going to Pune, Ahmednagar, they started laughing. And then immediately I thought, no, what next mischief we can do? So as we were watching, I suddenly saw a bundi. Laddu is a small piece of laddu. The bundi was there. I took the bundi. He was snoring loudly. I kept it on his lips. And these boys were watching quietly what I am doing. And within few seconds, we saw the lips shivered like this. And the lips opened, the tongue came out and took the bundi inside and ate it. And we all started laughing, ha ha ha, like that. By the time he got up, kyun kyun kis liye has rahe ho? Why are you laughing? And one of the boys asked, how sweet was the bundi? Bundi, which bundi? Well, now you took the bundi. Well, where? So how unconsciously the senses are acting, is it not? Look at the power of the senses. And the whole nervous system, who is controlling us? We controlling the mind? Or the mind controlling us? That incident happened in 1974 or 75. But that incident, it left such a mark that every time I think about the mind control, it gives to me an impression how mechanically we are working, is it not? So how to break this mechanical tendency and the habit of the mind, because mechanical unconscious mind cannot catch the conscious or God who is consciousness. It is very, very difficult. It is very difficult for a sleeping mind to catch God who is eternally awake. Brahman never sleeps. So the famous saying of Swamiji, teach yourselves, teach everyone his real nature. Call upon the sleeping soul and see how it awakes. Power will come, glory will come, purity will come, goodness will come. All that is excellent shall come when the sleeping soul is roused to self-conscious activity. So the spiritual sadhana, it is a self-conscious activity where we cut through the maze of desires which we have unconsciously thought over throughout our life. Most of the time you will find desires are almost arising unconsciously, is it not? You are going in a car, suddenly the board appears, "Taste the thunder." Long before that was the advertisement. I don't know whether you remember or not. Suddenly seeing the board, "Taste the thunder," with Sachin Tendulkar pouring the bottle into his mouth. Stop the vehicle. Well, what? Itna garam lag raha hai, thoda sa thunder pee kar jayenge. That is a Pepsi Cola advertisement. Well, what happened to you? You are going at 90 mile speed. That is okay. But with such a speed, the message entered inside my mind. And the man stopped the vehicle. And by that time, so many things happened. And they got late. And they told, "Now taste the blunder. You were going for your journey. Why did you stop?" So thunder, blunder, all combined. So in our life also, these things happen. We wanted to go somewhere, then something happens and we lost the way. We wanted to do japam, we wanted to meditate, but inside thunder comes, is it not? From the unconscious, and memory interferes. There's a beautiful exercise for this, so that the unconscious spell is broken. That's a long exercise. In olden days, that was called as a Brahminical way of living. But now, moment you say Brahmin, it gets colored with caste system. Originally, a Brahmin was supposed to be one who is investigating into Brahman. So, sattva shuddhav dhruva smritihi. When the sattva elements in the mind gets purified, how to make the sattva element purified? Sattva shuddhav dhruva smriti. The memory doesn't slip. Slipping of the memory indicates the mechanical working of our personality. All of us are mechanical, is it not? You can sit on the chair, is it not? What is happening with the legs? Mechanical, is it not? It's not only for us. Once Buddha was taking a class, he did like this and then suddenly stopped the class. He became alert. He took that something which he threw and put it back on his thighs and then bit the thigh and again threw it back. It took nearly 4-5 minutes and Ananda, his favorite disciple, asked, "Master, why did you kill the dead mosquito?" Then Buddha told, a relevant question, "The mosquito bit me and it was a reflex action. I bit it like this. It escaped my attention. I want to correct myself. No action must escape. Everything must be censored by my consciousness and my alertness. So I'm correcting the old action." He took the dead mosquito, put it on the thighs. He understood that I am beating the mosquito. Mosquito is dead and I am throwing the dead mosquito. See how great leaders they work, you see. The great realized souls, Buddha, Ramana Maharshi, Vivekananda, Ramakrishna, they were so alert, nothing escapes the purview of their mind. That is how the sadhana has to be done. Otherwise, the memory itself can kidnap us anytime. So one of the sadhana they do is Smriti Parishuddhi sadhana. Why? When the sattva becomes purified, the smriti also gets stabilized. Dhruva smriti, constantly we will start getting the memory of God. The unwanted memories will be removed. The weeds will be plucked out. That is what Tulsidas says. Kamadi dosha rahitam kuru manasam cha. Vishnu kama is good, but other kamas, they are all doshas. So let Vishnu kama alone remain in my heart. No, in the mind. In the heart already there is a Vishnu kama, but the kamas in the mind are interrupting me. So, he Rama, kama adi dosha rahitam. Let the mind be free from all the other kamas. So that this kama, the desire to get Vishnu, that materializes. So in the mind these doshas are there. Dosha rahitam kuru manasam cha. And when the mind is bereft of all other kamas and there is only Vishnu kama, akamo bhavati, a man desiring Vishnu becomes desireless because he cannot desire Vishnu unless he gives up all other desires. At that time, the mind and the heart merges. Ramana also says, after some time, the mind merges into the heart and then the sadhana becomes non-mechanical. Then you get constant remembrance of the God, and that remembrance makes us think of God continuously. In fact, it is not remembrance at all. It is called sahaja sthiti. The other sthiti is not sahaja. It is atma vismrita sthiti. We have forgotten, we are thinking of something which we should not think. And whatever we may be thinking in this world, behind all those thinking, there is I am thought present, is it not? I am thinking that. But we have forgotten the thinker and we are thinking about the objects which are thought upon. So in any thought, there is a thinker and the objects thought upon. But most of the time, we are not thinking about us, we have forgotten. So forgetting oneself, Shankara says, is suicide. Ita konvasti mudatma yastu swarthe pramadyati durlabham manusham deha prapyatatra api paurusham. He got a human body and he has got terrific energy, paurusham, or a male body, but he is not at all selfish. is totally unselfish. The word unselfish is used in a different way. Swartha. The real meaning of me is I am that infinite joy. I become careless about the infinite joyful nature of my own self. Mistakenly, I thought all the objects are joyful and I ran behind that. Afterwards, got beatings. Is it not? All of us have got beatings. Is it not? Or we are totally dead? Dead man doesn't get beatings. That soul which never experiences sorrow is not yet awakened. Vivekananda's profound statement, you see. He says, a soul that has never experienced sorrow is not yet awakened. Sorrow is the shadow of Sachidananda. We all are thinking how Sachidananda can give sorrow as a shadow, which is totally contradictory to it. Ananda and Dukkha. How Dukkha can be the shadow of Ananda? You will see when you burn a lamp, the light itself casts the shadow of the lamp. So light is bringing the shadow, and the shadow is the indication of the object behind. We saw creation is the indication of creator. Magic is the indication of magician. So this Jagat Prapancha is the indication that there is a God behind it. So in the mind, all this should take us back to that. Every aspect that is coming into the mind will lead us, when the memory gets purified, to the very person from whom these things are arising. It will take us to the source. So Dhruva Smriti, stabilized memory, comes with Sattva Shuddhi. How to make the Sattva Shuddha? Mother says one is Japa. When you do Ishta Mantra Japa, the Sattva elements of the body is purified. Everything looks very nice whenever we read the books. Only when we want to do, things become so difficult for us. Because as we sit for doing Japam, memories crowd into our mind, is it not? Because we have not done the Sattva Shuddhi or memory purification. This is how to purify the memory. Ahara Shuddhau Sattva Shuddhihi. Immediately she is saying, don't take garlic, is it not? No. Okay, garlic is okay. It triggers so many emotional things. But Shankara says, ahara is the food taken inside by all the sense organs, audio and video in main. Hundreds of things we see all over the world, is it not? Hundreds of things we hear. In addition to that, our own unending dustbin is inside, is it not? From there, so many thoughts are coming up, is it not? Even when we are listening to a lecture, when we are watching a movie, listening to some songs, from inside so many things will be coming on. I do not know whether you are alert and you have watched this. Try to listen to a song. And while listening to the song, listen to yourself also. You will find along with the song, we will be not only listening to the song alone. Normally we should listen to the song singularly. We will be imagining hundreds of things along with the lines of the song. I tested this because this is one of the Zen meditation. That as you hear, you will find along with the hearing, you don't listen to the song, hundreds of things mind will be thinking, you are hearing that also. One day I put on that song, Laguniya Payo Vinavito Thumala. As soon as the lines came, Krishna, Vishnu, Hari, Govinda, Gopal, suddenly I found I am also dancing with Sant Tukaram. Because in the movies we have seen Tukaram having this chipla and his tampura, he is also telling Krishna, Govinda, Hari. Then he is dancing, rotating. Then suddenly it struck me, I should listen to the song, let the song go into the mind fully. But between the me and the song, the imagination is triggered by the memory. Because long before I have seen the movie Jala Mahar Pandarinath, all those things, crowded memories are coming forth. So what happens is, memory gets trampled upon. So ahara shuddhau, along with this memory which is connected to spirituality, it is good, okay, beneficial. Unwanted other memories throughout the 24 hours will be crowding into our mind. Sometimes two people will be talking in the train. And after you come back, you will remember the whole thing, is it not? You can watch it in children. once I was teaching my sister's young boy. He was hardly 7 or 6 years old. I was teaching him Hindi. Then suddenly he told, Jindabad, 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 Indira Gandhi, Jindabad. Then I told, where did you learn this? Then my brother told, day before yesterday, Congress party was taking the election procession. Indira Gandhi, this fellow doesn't know Hindi. He came from Chennai. He said, Indira Gandhi, Jindabad, Indira Gandhi, Jindabad. He picked up without knowing the meaning, the powerful effect of memory, you see. Something very wonderful. The human mind is one of the most enigmatic instrument. Very powerful. And once it becomes our friend, that is the greatest thing, a boon, a benediction for all of us. It is called manaprasada. Mind also should give its prasada. Manaprasada means it is so pleasant that it is always with us. It is the mind that makes us our own enemy and makes us feel we are our own friend. Udhare dātmanātmānam nātmānam avasādayet. Don't get disinterested in yourself. We get disinterested in the sadhana. Though we are doing it, the whole mind is not going, plunging into that. That plunging of the whole mind, what Sri Ramakrishna calls it as, the thing caused by vyakulata, the whole heart and the mind craves for that, without which we will go mad. So throughout the day, ahara, through the ears, through the eyes, and through our own mind, what are we thinking? If suddenly somebody has got a machine by which he can detect what thoughts are happening in your mind, how dangerous it would be, is it not? We had one Swami who was in Rhodesia. Mostly his name was Vijayananda Pashupati Maharaj. I heard the story from another Swami who was Mahapurush Maharaj's disciple. Who heard it from him? He was in Rhodesia long before. He was Mahapurush Maharaj's disciple or Raja Maharaj's disciple. As he was carrying on the affairs of the work, one day a lady from Rhodesia came and for no reasons known to him, went on scolding him. You are like this, you are like this. Monks are coming like beggars and doing all this nonsense. And Swami was flabbergasted. What is this? There is no connection between me and this lady. Nothing wrong has happened. Why is this lady is going on scolding me? But suddenly he heard a sound at the back of his mind. And instantly he found that the past, present and the future of the lady who was scolding, it stood open in front of him. And without his knowledge, he went on uttering those scenes which he saw. And the lady was simply shocked because one of the great secrets of her life was spelled out by that Swami. Immediately she got frightened and made a namaskara to Swamiji. With folded hands she ran away. Because he told her one intimate secret of her life. Like Swamiji told Rockefeller. Something very secret about his life. And Rockefeller was really put down by that. So this lady was so shocked, she simply retreated back. And Swami had a problem after that. Whoever comes to the ashrama, he could see the past, present and the future. And committee members, whom he thought they are all very good people and they will assist, they are all wonderful, nice people. Everybody's good and bad started appearing in front of him. He could not deal with anybody. Now we all want to find other people's faults. Na? If other people's faults come in front of our eyes, and if we develop the power to see, na, it will be impossible to live. That is why if you want peace of mind, you can have peace of mind only when you can deal with people. And if you go on having dosha darshanam, how can you have peace of mind? So mother was very logical. She told, if you want peace of mind, don't find others' faults. The Swami did not find others' faults. It appeared to him and he lost his peace of mind. Because whoever comes, he wants to interact and he is able to see this man has murdered, this man has cheated somebody, he has taken a loan and has not repaid. Everybody fellow, they are having something or the other problem. Inside the mind, outside everything is okay. The eyebrow lining, the lipstick, the black hair, the dress, everything looks very well polished and nice. But inside, most of us are bothered about outside. Brahma Jagnyasa or the spiritual life has got nothing to do with outside much. It is all inside. And then he wrote to Mahapurush Maharaj, I am in great trouble. I was very peaceful. I was totally oblivious, ignorant of whatever is happening or whatever was inside everybody. Now I am able to see everybody's inside, outside, out. Now you can understand the greatness, the power of Sri Ramakrishna, Vivekananda and Holy Mother. Seeing the whole world drowned in gutter, how beautifully they dealt with us, is it not? How sweet must have been their love that simply it overlooked all the defects. Come on. You may be a drunkard, you may be a prostitute, you may be a gunda, come on. So that is a terrific power of Sri Ramakrishna's love, overlooking all the defects. That is the infinite karuna, karunyavari. And Mahapurush Maharaj got a letter from Pashupati Maharaj that he is having a trouble. Then Mahapurush Maharaj replied back, it was I who gave that power to you to save you from that lady. Go on doing japam in this particular method, that power will vanish. After the incident was over, 1 or 2 years later, he came to Belur Math and he was narrating this to other swamis of the Belur Math, that I got a power like this, and the lady came and told, and instantly I also saw the past, present and future, and I started telling and she went away. Immediately 3-4 swamis got up. Are you still having the power? And it was, no, please sit, I have lost it. By the grace of Mahapurush Maharaj, it disappeared from me. Now you can sit and talk with me. So the mind constantly thinking, if we get a lie detector, any instrument, and if we put it here, automatically we will know what are all the thoughts that were going through our mind. We will be surprised whether we thought it. Is it not? What is in our own house dustbin, we don't know. So in our mind, what are all the things we are putting inside? So that is the ahara. Sometimes whatever comes, people eat, is it not? No, we don't want. Little more you take. Okay, give. You are asking, so give. We take, is it not? Even when the stomach is full, we go on taking. So ahara shuddhau. For a spiritual aspirant, in receiving the things of the world through the ears, through the eyes, and also from our own mind, what is coming into the surface mind like rockets, missiles coming from the unknown area, and we catch a thought and we go on munching those thoughts, is it not? Is it not? When we sit for japa or meditation, what are we doing? Sometimes chanting the name of God, at other times having relation with the thoughts which are coming in the mind, and we are all having lots of conversation with those thoughts. Either we reject that thought, fighting with that, get out, or please come in, and we go on getting engaged with those thoughts. That is the two tendencies of the mind caused by attachment. Asakti. The asakti comes with two faces. One is raga, other is dvesha. We think raga is good and dvesha is bad. Both are one and the same thing. Raga and dvesha, it is the two faces of the same coin. Raga means sukanushai ragaha. Whatever I like, I get attached. Dukanushai dveshaha. Whatever I don't like, it is dvesha. If you start liking something which you don't like, then that turns into raga. Like sugar turns. Beginning sugar was aspect of raga. After some time when you get diabetes, the same sugar becomes an object of dvesha. So raga and dvesha are not in the object itself. Sukha and dukha are not in the object itself. It is in the situation in which we are caught. Like camels, they eat the thorny plants and it is giving sukha. But for us, we have dvesha. And when you become a politician, this raga and dvesha can go on alternating. Today you are the enemy party, next day you have an alliance, and after some time again you break, you join with another party. And after some time all the parties which were hating themselves, they all join to form a national Mahagathbandhan, what they call. So in our mind also all the desires, they also have Mahagathbandhan, and then all gadbadi starts inside the mind. Hundreds of things are happening. So all these have one basic element, the fatal blow given to us because of asakti. Memory itself is based on asakti, attachment. We are attached to that, that's all. Memory is not a problem by itself. The attachment to the memory, that is what sways us. The past event comes in front of the eye of our mind. If you are not attached, it simply goes away. Moment you get attached, and the attachment is caused by emotion. If you don't get emotion, then you will neither react in a positive way nor react in a negative way. Because when the memories float in front of the mind, either you accept them, it is positive, raga, or you say, oh, no, I don't want it. I had already paid the tax. Without knowing my name properly, police came and arrested. And in front of all, I was put to so much of shame. Then they told, madam, we are sorry, it was another Jayanti, not you. We mistook the plot number. Both the names are V Jayanti, but we mistook. Now it is clear. Fellow, you have put me to so much of, and when the memory comes, no, get out. Why? Because we got connected. The event happened somewhere before, it went away, but left the impression in the mind, and that impression comes, which is an ash, which is a memory, not real, and we are responding to unreality. Is it not? The whole world is unreal. God alone is real. You are nodding the head as if you already have gone into samadhi and understood. If God alone is real, even for me also, why do I attend the unreal world? Is it not? It is happening to all of us. We are all attending the unreal world. Whatever may be the reason or the logic we can give, but when the mind gets convinced that God alone is real, the mind automatically will flow towards the real. But now we are getting so much attached to these unreal things that mind goes towards that. So attachment is expressing itself in the form of like and dislike, raga and dvesha, asakti. The same asakti, Sri Ramakrishna says, turn it in the other direction, that is all. It is a great capability, because asakti is nothing but the diluted form of prema, love. It is kama. He says the same kama, which is a ability at the lower level, catch hold of it and purify it. How to purify it? All the unwanted things must be removed. How? Take in what you need, avoid what you don't need. For that, one has to get very clear idea of what we need. What we want, that is different. What we need, that is different. Most of us confuse want and needs, is it not? What I need is oxygen, but what I want is an air conditioner. But without air conditioner, I can live, but without oxygen, I cannot live. Similarly, without this world, I can live. But without God, I cannot even have ignorant life. But the brain, the mind, eating so many unwanted things, have got so much habituated that again and again it goes into the same route. So first, in the sadhana chatushtaya, four qualities needed for performing our sadhana. Viveka, this is what I really need. In Khetri, when I joined Khetri, we did cattle relief. Because 4-5 years there was no rain and there was no green grass, so we used to get Tuda. His father was there at that time. He's originally from Khetri, the place where Swamiji stayed. So first few days when we gave the fodder, Tuda means it's the like paddy, that haystack. Wheat also has got the haystack. So I watched. Before that, the cows and other animals used to eat cinema poster also. Yes, because maida was there behind it. They used to paste the cinema posters with maida. And next to our ashrama, there was Kolar Goldfield laborers. And one day Seshagiri Rao, I still remember, he came and told, Swami, oh, terrific. He said, Rajasthan cows are very ferocious and very strong. I told, how? They have eaten the jeep canvas, Swami. I told, why? I went and saw, really, cows have eaten the canvas of the jeep. And those people knew Kannada and Tamil. So few of them I used to prepare pepper rasam, curd rice and other things and give, because in the North India they will not get it. So one day he told, Swami, as there is no water in Khetri, there is water shortage. If you go to Rajasthan, many places, first they will wipe the plate with the sand. After eating, they will clean the sand and with less water they will wash it. Our own Swami, who was there in Khetri Ashrama, he used to have a plastic tub. He used to sit on the plastic tub and take a bath. After taking bath, the water which is stored in the plastic tub, the water which was used for bathing, in the same water he will wash clothes, Vimal Maharaj. He used to wash the clothes. And I used to get water, 1 bucket, 1 rupee in 1979. It was very difficult to get water. In the ashrama, we had no water. We used to get from the Khetri copper mines. The tanker will come. And we used to have 2 drums, barrels, and fill it up and then get water. And these laborers, because there was no water, they simply wiped the hands after eating idli sambar and masala dosa in the very jeep canvas. And cows are very intelligent, is it not? Getting the smell, so many days they are wiping their hands. After taking food, they wipe like this. And then after that, in the handkerchief, they will wipe and go. The cows have come and eaten. And when we gave this thuda, the fodder, first 2-3 days cows came and just smelled it and went away. I was surprised. I told Maharaj, they are not eating. Then I told, this is nothing. Well, why? Well, even in Bengal, we have seen sometimes when we give rasagulla to very, very poor people, they have not eaten rasagulla, they will not like it. After taking 2-3 times, slowly the taste develops. Yesterday we were discussing about the Name Ruchi, Nama Ruchi. First we don't like to chant the name of the Lord's name. Slowly, then after 2-3 days, little one cow had given a biting on the straw. Little by little, and then the old memories came back. And after that, slowly they started eating. It took nearly 2-3 days. So for our mind also, in the sadhana marga, it takes time to give up the old. That is why satsanga becomes very, very essential. Because through this satsanga, that is why Ramakrishna Math has been a great boon to people who are very, very sincere. At least evening we can come and sit. If nothing, 3 great people are sitting there. Just look at them. The very impression, ahara, we take in, is it not? What we take in is called ahara. Look at Sri Ramakrishna. Automatically the memory will be stirred. Sharada Devi. Nothing, at least the image will go inside. Otherwise, SRK will go inside. You know what is SRK? One of the college boys, when I used SRK, he told, Swami, are you mentioning Shah Rukh Khan? I told, no, Sri Ram Krishna. So how the mind works, you see, very clever ways and the tricks of the minds are infinite. Moment I told SRK, his mind is going there. So the Ramakrishna Math indirectly in a very, very sweet way, like the great loving Lord Sri Ramakrishna, very slowly, gently, like a compassionate mother who says, don't eat this, take this. The boy wants to eat the cockroach also, is it not? Small children, they will beat the cockroach, they won't eat. It looks like small piece of that silk milk or something, chocolate. He doesn't understand. Then the mother slowly dissuades him, don't take it. So in our mind, the asakti, the attachment to the sense objects which are naturally flowing, the first step is viveka. This is what I want and this is what I need. Wants can be infinite, but need will be little. I need little food, little clothing and little house. The same need, when it is combined with wants, it becomes infinite, insatiable wants. There is a shloka in one of the scriptures. All the food in the world cannot satisfy one man's desire, want. Because whatever you take in, it goes out, is it not? Nothing stays inside. Gallons and gallons of idli, sambar, Coca-Cola, tea, coffee, everything has gone inside. We are not bored, is it not? Is it not? You must have taken nearly 40,000 idlis. You say, no, now I am bored, 40,000 idlis, 35 gallons of chai I have taken, no. But when it comes to spiritual practice, 108 times somehow finished, now it's enough. We get tired and bored, is it not? Yes, it is happening to our mind. It is due to the habit. Habit arises by contact. Sangat sanjayate kamaha dhyayato vishyan punsaha. He goes on thinking about the object and the contact is born. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Sri Ramakrishna says, up to this it is very good. Become more smart. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Have sadhu sangha. Sanjayate premaha. Isha prema starts with sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha is not meeting Swamis. The greatest sadhu, Sri Ramakrishna, is sitting. Vachanamrita is there. Our Upanishads are there. Gita is there. Bhajans are there. All these are different sources of sadhu sangha. So as the mind starts, the first step, viveka. Adau vivekaha, this is what I want, this is what I need. Without the wants I can stay, but without the needs I can't stay. Sri Ramakrishna says, the swan, hamsa, pakshi wants milk. So even in the milk, what we cannot do, if we at least get the talent of the milkman will be caught daily. We can put the hand, take the milk and leave the water in his can and well, now you go back. This much milk only we have got, we will pay this much only. But the Hamsa Pakshi, very clever, nobody can cheat, takes the milk. I need milk. Water, whenever I want, I will drink from the ponds. It leaves the water. But in our case, we take both water and the milkman cheats us because aviveki. And some of the, once I kept a lactometer when I was in Cochin Vaitil Ashrama. It was no water is being mixed. I put the lactometer. It was, yo, Swami, you are a dangerous fellow. Nobody tested the milk with lactometer. I told, lactometer shows how much milk content is there, how much water is there. The next day, it didn't come. He told, there are other better customers than you. Then I told, okay, I am not using the lactometer, you come and give. Then I kept 1 liter vessel. It told, again, you are creating a problem. I told, there's only 900 milligrams. What about the 100 gram? While coming here and there, it must have spilled, or when the vessel was empty, I poured, and it stuck to the sides of the vessel, 100 milligrams have gone. I told, how it can go? Nothing sticks to the vessel. It is not a cloth vessel, it's an aluminium vessel. Swamiji, difficult to argue with you. If you want milk or not, okay, well, I come, now you give. So we have to compromise. So viveka is the first thing, adau vivekaha, nitya nitya vastu vivekaha. What is really lasting, that we should select. All of us are thinking the worldly joys will last, is it not? But it is not lasting. That is a miserable part of it. It is not lasting, and every one of us with all the intellect, with boasted our own smartness, nothing. The magic of God is so wonderful that we are all under Mayadhish. This Maya is enchanting, but Mayadhish is more wonderful, but he purposely kept us enchanted with Maya. Don't come to Mayadhish. The mind is occupied continuously. So Viveka is the first step. Otherwise, the seeking will not get strengthened. We may seek, but all the impressions of the mind, it will say, go there, go there. You are seeking that. Otherwise, look at the magical creation of God. How dirty is this body, is it not? How many perfumes and odors we put? Daily we take bath, sometimes 3-4 times. Animals don't take bath and they don't smell. And we put body odor sometime along with sweat. That body odor gets another smell and it becomes so horrible. And man goes on accumulating and storing and hoarding inside the mind, both physically as well as psychologically. So physically also we stink. The whole country is poor because many rich people have abundant wealth. Sri Ramakrishna could not hoard even lavang elaichi in his dhoti packet. He lost the way. Once Holy Mother kept some small packet and he kept it here. And he could not find the way. Hoarding. Memory is nothing but hoarding. Atito ananusandhanam. No research into the past. Bhavishyat avicharayet. No enquiry into the future. Etat paramahamsasya lakshanam. Paramahamsa is not bothered about the past, nor does he worry about the future. Absolutely in the eternal present, the flaming presence of God, he doesn't bother anything. Gone is gone. What has to come, let it come. But we are bothered about the past as well as the future, and the hoarding starts and we get attracted and attached to that. So what we need is that which is lasting, that which will be really beneficial for us in the long run, ultimately what is going to benefit. So that first category, the qualification is required. Without qualification, sadhana cannot give siddhi. To get siddhi, success, fruit in our spiritual life, we can put the blames on so many things. Adhikarinam ashaste phala siddhir visheshatah upaya desha kaladya santyasmin sahakarinah. The situation, the scenery and other things we say are responsible for our not following spiritual path. But Shankara says adhikarinam ashaste phala siddhir visheshatah. If you are a qualified aspirant, then phala siddhi must come. That was what we discussed as karma rahasya. Perfect the means. The means must be perfect. Perfect. The end will come by itself. So what is the mean? A qualified aspirant. So the first quality of a sadhaka, he requires four qualifications. First is viveka. Discriminate. How to start the discrimination? In the beginning, when I came to Ramakrishna Mat, one of the Swami told, you first discriminate. I told, how to discriminate? I don't know. Now, what is good and what is bad? I told, I don't know what is good, but what is bad, I know. Now, what is eternal, lasting? And beginning, when people come, they can't even understand it. Even I couldn't understand. Slowly, 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 association, reading, gospel and other things, then it struck me, oh my God. It takes time for these things to sink inside our personality. And then we have to grasp it. Now it becomes very clear, oh, how foolishly we are running behind the ephemeral things. These are all changing. Body is changing. Mind is changing. People are changing. Nobody is reliable in this world. Is it not? Even we are not reliable. Our mind also is changing. So why are we behind this? Then slowly once this sense gets stabilized in the mind that changing things cannot give unchanging joy, the mind comes to one conclusion, therefore they are to be given up. Endlessly we are going on, is it not? Mechanically, how long? Why is that nothing is happening to me even after taking 50,000 gallons of coffee? I don't come to a conclusion. Experience after experience after experience. What is the use of this experience? No knowledge arising out of experience, is it not? After tasting something, we say, yes, we have understood. Sri Ramakrishna told, I wanted to wear a Banarasi shawl, gold ornament, finger or something, and something he wanted to taste. He took the shawl, put it, well, how very beautiful. It looks very nice and gives rise to some haughtiness and pride. And afterwards, he threw the shawl. Mathuranath gave to him a beautiful, costly shawl. Now I have enjoyed. And suddenly somebody else came and picked up. Sri Ramakrishna never bothered. I'll let it go. He told, what is this shawl after all? Nothing. Just the silkworms killed and they have been turned into this. And society worships. Then he took Rasagulla. Very slowly he ate it. Only one Rasagulla. That was sufficient for him. Hello, what is this? It's very sweet. Combined with milk and sugar products. And how long? 3-inch distance. As soon as it crosses the tongue, where is the Rasgulla? So for them, they are so enlightened. One experience is enough a teacher for them. But for us, in the play school, we stay thousands of years. We don't come out of the play school. going on eating rasgullas, going on eating Cadbury's chocolates, never we say no. Is it not? Enough, I don't want it. Little sorrow, little difficulties come, no, I don't want it. Sri Ramakrishna, our mother, used to say, a lady came with 10 children or 15 children, and every year she used to say, next year no more children. I say, you are telling, but again, he says, whole football team has come. It is happening. In those days, people used to have 15 to 18 children. And they say, no, it is enough, enough. When the trouble comes during the labor pain, sure, no, it is so terrible. Afterwards, again the moha. So when Viveka dawns, that is a grace of God. Sant Kripa, Isha Kripa, Guru Kripa, or Punya Sukriti Kripa, suddenly it comes to our mind unknowingly without our knowledge. And when Viveka comes, we understand this is what I need, this is what I wanted. Give up the wants, take up what you need. What we need really is, if we are sincere, that is eternal joy, eternal knowledge, eternal existence. That is God, I want God. But if you really want God, you cannot travel in the two boat. He says, give up what is not God. Then only the mind can take up. In Tamil Nadu, they say, having a bird and he was trying to catch the flying bird, both went away. Irukkaradhiyum vittam, parakkaradhiyum vittam. So we have to decide what we should have, because human heart is not kinetic Honda scooter where you can take doubles. You can sit and somebody else also can sit behind. In the heart, either God will sit or the world will sit. You cannot take doubles. But we always want to have doubles. Is it not one companion behind? So that Viveka, when it comes, it will tell that, give up what you don't want, because less luggage, more comfort. As the journey starts, unwanted things have to be given up. If you don't give up, it is going to be a nuisance. The journey will be hindered. It is happening to so many people, and so many illustrations will come now. If I go into that, sadhana chatushya cannot be completed. I told about the story of one man who came with Swami Turiyananji, is it not? Turiyananji and that man used to take bhiksha daily in Haridwar. After bhiksha, this man used to break the chapati into so many pieces and throw into the Ganges. The fishes will come and eat. Turiyananji used to go away quickly. And in few days, Turiyananji found that Swami is not coming, that sadhu is not coming along with him for bhiksha. After 3 years, suddenly, when he was walking on the streets of Haridwar or Rishikesh, he saw one man with a lady and two kids. Maharaj, do you remember me? Yes, I seem to have seen you somewhere. Maharaj, I am that same Shantina. Do you remember after bhiksha, we used to sit on the Ganges bank. He used to meditate. I used to throw the chapati bits to the fishes. Yes, but why, who are they? This is my wife and these are my two children. How it happened, Shantinath? You were such a wonderful man. No, you see, I used to give these small bits of chapati to the fishes, na? First the big fish, next another fish, then small fishes, they used to come and take. Suddenly it struck my mind, what a wonderful, joyful family life, mother, father, children, how they are all joyfully living together. And slowly it occupied my mind. And after some time, I took to that joy. Suryananda was stuck dumb. Oh my God, hey Maya, what power you have got. So quickly, the whole journey has been turned out, the other way it went out. So even the lives of the great saints, including Vishwamitra, whose Gayatri Mantra we are chanting, this is the slippery road, Kshurasya Dhara, Durgam Patasas Kavyo Vadanti, walking on the edge of a razor, or the most dangerous life, the sannyasi's life. Especially the modern day sannyasis like us, we are like camphor in the midst of raging fire. In the society, full of temptations, young swamis are moving, is it not? That's only by the grace of Thakur Mother and Swamiji, the fire of the society is not catching or touching the camphor. Otherwise, any time the camphor will catch fire. So walking in the society, it is like camphor walking in the midst of fire. But the protection given by them is keeping us safe. Otherwise, danger is there. Highly inflammable. A monk is a highly inflammable. And as the mind becomes more and more refined, more and more sharper, more and more careful we have to become. So viveka must accompany us. And as the viveka starts getting roots inside the mind, vairagya will start. Iha mutra falaboga viragaha vairagya. Nitya nitya vastu viveka. Vairagya means after determining what is nitya, the fruits that you want to enjoy in this world and the next world, that you have to renounce. Because this hankering brings attachment. Along with attachment, the hosts of all the enemies come to you. One is sufficient. One terrorist, is it not? There is enough. One Captain Clive came to India, is it not, first, before the East India Company came, and the whole India was invaded. So one entry, it is sufficient to spoil the whole thing. So vairagya, moment we say vairagya, everybody is frightened, is it not? Vairagya means it is only for sannyasi and other thing. But the grace of Sri Ramakrishna, he made vairagya also very, very sweet. Vairagya means not that you have to be very rough, very harsh. Turn the whole thing into godly things, that's all. Attachment has to be given up, not the world. Don't give up the wife. Give up the attachment for the wife. Don't give up your wealth. Give up the attachment for the wealth. Isha vasya sarvam idam. Think that whole thing is permeated with God. And then go on doing it. And once that vairagya comes, and the metamorphosis, the transformation, that it is all God's comes, it has got a tremendous effect on the mind. The first thing is the ending of sorrow. That's when Ramakrishna had plenty of money comes, but nobody bothers. Plenty of food comes, nobody is bothered. Plenty of things come because they know it is not belonging to us. It is like a bank cashier. Crores and crores of rupees pass through his hands, but he knows that it is not his. And if at any time he touches out, he will be caught. So vairagya is not having the hankering to enjoy here or hereafter the fruits of our work done. Or going to heaven, getting this thing, getting that thing. So many hankerings are there, is it not? We have hidden inside our mind. And some people even have the desire to become a Brahmajnani and live in this world. Is it not? One lady told, I want to become a Brahmajnani and live in this world. I told, you cannot become a Brahmajnani unless you give up the world. But then people will tell that I am a Paramahamsa. Na? What a joy it is to lead the life of a Paramahamsa. I told, Paramahamsa is not at all aware of the silly cravings that people will respect and honor him like a Padma Bhushan award. How wonderful, mischievous mind is it not? I want to walk on the road like a Paramahamsa. Well, a Paramahamsa never has this desire. Sri Ramakrishna beautifully says, Naam aur pratishta eto shukari bishta. The Naam, the name and the status, it is all excreta of pig. Arre, what is the use of the name and fame? Name and fame is nothing but other people's opinion about you, not you. Somebody may think that you are a great singer, you are a great dancer, but inside you, are you happy? If you are not happy, whole world may appreciate you, but nothing will happen to you. So vairagya, when it comes, then the real journey starts. We decided what we really need and we are giving up the unwanted things. Patanjali says, drashtu anushravika vishayasya vitrishna vashikara sanya vairagyam. Whatever you have seen, whatever you have heard, there is a great clinging on towards it, is it not? It is there, is it not? One song, once you heard, Alaipa Yude Kanna. Mind goes on that. Is it not? Whatever songs we listen, mind is going. If the tune is good and the singer is good. Mohe Lage Lagana Guru Charananiki. Finished. It goes on repeating the same thing. So slowly it drops out from our mind. Vairagya comes and the unwanted things drop out. First, we decided what is wanted, what is unwanted. And when vashikara, vashikara means tremendous power over others. What is a tremendous power over others? That nobody can control you. That is a power. Not that you are going to control others. Moment you want to control others, then you don't have a power. You are possessed by the desire to control others. Here, the sense objects will cease to exert any influence on your mind. You may see 1,000 boats taste the thunder, but no influence, and you will not commit the blunder. You are freely going on, that's all. Once Socrates was taken to biggest market in Athens. He went inside. He told, "Sir, this is one of the best pair of shoes available in this world." "Wow, who did it?" "Well, this is the craftsman. Really, I got wonderful skill. It's so nice, beautiful. I really appreciate what piece of handwork it is. Would you like to have it?" No, I don't have it. "Want it? I already have my pair of shoes." He moved on. "Sir, this one you have seen, the small wooden box to keep the spectacles. Oh, simply marvelous. What exquisite work. And it is smelling very nicely, the sandal box. We would like to give to you. Would you like to have it?" "Oh, no, I have got my ordinary bag for keeping my spectacles." Like that, as he went on all the different shops, everybody wanted to offer Socrates something. He told, no. Nothing ceased to have any control over his mind. Sri Ramakrishna also, whatever he wanted to have, he wanted to once smoke through a golden hookah. One smoke, that's all, one puff out. He says, "It's enough for me, I've seen through it." And Vairagya came. In our case, Vairagya goes bit by bit, is it not? Temporarily, then we take up, we leave it, we take up, we leave it. But Vairagya can be practiced slowly by seeing the defects on the things. Sarvada dosha darshanam, this body, how much effort it is making us take to keep it beautiful, is it not? And our beauty is not appearing to us as beautiful. Others must tell that you are looking so beautiful, is it not? One man told, "Sir, new shoes, will it bite like dogs?" The next man said, "Oh, you have purchased new shoes? Now I am very happy. Because last 2 days nobody was looking at the costly new shoes I purchased. Now at least you recognize that I have purchased new shoes." Then he told, "Every shoe, when it is new, it will bite like a dog. Don't worry. We also have new shoes, but we don't bother about it. But when you purchase a new shoe, have a new necklace, somebody should see and appreciate. Then only you can enjoy." Sri Ramakrishna says, "One day I went to a market and one lady, she was doing japa. And she's like, 'That fish, I want that fish.' She was showing her arm. And there she has put a gold amulet. She wanted to show that gold amulet. Nobody was seeing. Then somebody asked, 'Oh, is it newly done?' How?" "Yes, this is newly done. It is 2,000 rupees. Now she is satisfied because somebody has to recognize. Then what happens is the Vashikara, under the Vashikara of the sense objects, we have not controlled it. So Viveka and Vairagya, when it comes, Vairagya will make us drop it like hot potato. Dropping this world. There was a great saint in Maharashtra. He was arguing with Samartha Ramdas. "By your grace, by your blessing, by your initiation, I am doing so much sadhana, but world is not leaving me." And Samartha Ramdas told, "Hey, world doesn't catch you, you are catching the world." No, Swami, Gurudev, it is the world which is not leaving me. Then Samartha Ramdas told, "I have verified with my own experience, the world is not catching us, we hold it, otherwise it is not at all there. We need not leave it also, catch hold of God." Then one day he was going along with that disciple. Then he told, "Kalyan, Goswami, please climb that tree." That tree was coming out from the well. "So climb that tree." He climbed that tree. "Hold on to the tree and drop your legs." So as he dropped the legs, this man was hanging and the tree was from the well. So he was in the midst of the well. He told, "Goswami, hath sodundhya. Leave your hands." And as Guru gave the adesh, he left the hand, fell into the well. And Samartha Ramdas went away. After 3 days, he came back. "Goswami, kalyana hai ka, kasa bhara hai ka?" And he told, "Yes, Gurudev, because of your kripa, me bhara hai. Come on, come out." He came out and he asked, "Who was holding the tree? You or the tree was holding you?" "Now I got the answer. I left it." Similarly, leave this world also. So the Vairagya is the ability to remain unshaken so that the world and the sense objects do not interfere. So the mind develops a steadiness, a quietness, an unwavering tendency. So viveka, vairagya, shamadhi, shat sampati, six qualities has to assist this viveka and vairagya. One is shama. Mind should not go out. A sort of inner calmness. Next is dhamma, where the external sense organs are controlled. If the external sense organs are not controlled, it will take you here and there. The very visual effect, the very audio effect will carry us here and there, and we go along with that. That is called dhamma. Keep the external sense organs under control. But sometimes even if the external sense organs are controlled, the inner organs will make us think about them. And that will make us hypocrite. Krishna says, controlling the external indras, he goes on thinking in the mind. Indriyani sayamya ya aste manasasmaran mithyasara cha uchyate. Mentally is going on thinking. Another one is externally associating. Both should be avoided. Internal control in the mind and also the external control of the organs. There was a great saint, Vilva Mangala, who was almost about to realize Sri Krishna. Suddenly a girl came. Hearing the noise of her bangles or something, he just from the corner of the eyes looked at that lady. And the whole mind that was given to Krishna got Trishna behind this lady and went. And after some time, Vilva Mangala realized, oh my God, what happened to me? From the hairpin of the hairpin which was on her hair, Vilva Mangala took the hairpin and just plucked both his eyes. With the same lady lover's hairpin, he plucked his eyes. And he told, what I have done, I wanted to see Krishna, but I got so mesmerized by the looks of this lady. And he removed the eyes. And Vivekananda says, if necessary, this may be taken as the extreme first step for the beginning of the sadhana. Terrific expression, is it not? He says, no more external things should be seen. And very quickly he got Krishna's realization and he was weeping, Krishna, what did you do to me? Had you given me the power of Dhamma, I could have seen you now. And Krishna, by his grace, gave him eyes and he saw Krishna standing outside. Not only the inner vision, but also in the external world, he could see Krishna. So Shama and Dhamma, the control inside and outside. Then Uparati, the tendency of the mind to go out should stop and it should stay inside. It is like Pratyahara. Mind is not going out, but within the room we are walking. We don't take a walk outside the building or outside the compound wall, but it's within the room we are there, confined to our own thoughts about God. It becomes very difficult for us at that time because we feel bored, no company, nothing is there. Today one Swamiji was telling that few people were traveling in the compartment and nobody is talking with each other. Then suddenly two people started talking. What is your name? My name is like this. Your name? This is my name. Where are you coming from? Patiala. Oh, I am also from Patiala. From which street? This street. I am also from this street. As they went on talking, ultimately it was found out both are father and son coming from the same house. Because nobody was talking, they felt bored and they started exchanging some communication between them. What business you are doing? This business. Father told, I am also doing the same business. Someone asked, who are you? They told, we are father and son. Then you know everything. As we know everything, but we are not talking now. We feel so bored. So engagement is required. So keeping us engaged, the tendency of the mind, so in this practice, as you start keeping yourself engaged with God, we find sometimes boring, sometimes lonely, because aparichita vyakti, is it not? He's an unknown man, and we are not able to see him. So the effect will be very, very difficult to bear. Sometimes it may have nervous reaction. That's why this is slowly going to the sadhana. Very slowly, steadily, sweetly, and go into that sadhana. Don't overdo anything. For that, when things come out as we start practicing, titiksha is required, bearing all the difficulties. Even in the external world, as we start practicing the spiritual practices, so many difficulties will come from the householders, from our own relations, from the society, here, there, bodily complaints. old worries, old wounds, hurts, everything will come. Bear it. Because if you don't bear it, again it will disturb you. It will be thrown out of your mind, thrown out of balance. And little imbalance means the whole procedure of sadhana gets shattered. So, titiksha. Sahanam sarvadukkanam apratikara purvakam chinta vilaparahitam sa titiksha nigadyate. Endurance, bearance, what can be changed, we can change. But what cannot be changed has to be endured. So this is Shama, Dama, Uparati, Titiksha. Next comes one of the most beautiful thing which gives a tremendous force like a petrol. Shraddha. Do you believe this? Not blind belief or reasoned belief. Do you believe? Because without belief, the whole mind and heart would not have accepted this. Is it a false acceptance? A borrowed enthusiasm, a second-hand belief, or do you really believe? Because if you believe, then only the propulsion will come from inside to move forward. Sri Ramakrishna says, people hardly believe that there is God. And he gives a very forceful example. Suppose if there is a thief, and if the thief comes to know that in the next room there is a bag of gold, how restless he will become, if he is a real thief. Similarly, he says, if we are really a thief, and a real thief, and if we understand inside there is God, the infinite gold, how restless we should become. So, Shraddha, Guru Vakyeshu, Shastra Vakyeshu, Vishwasaha, Shraddha, a total conviction that it is existing and that is my goal. Satya Buddhi Avadharanam, Shankara says. A real understanding about the thing Guru has given to me. He has given the mantra. I am now convinced mentally, intellectually and through my experience. Japa is really a method. I have not fully tasted the realization, but by few years of practice, I find the quietening effect, the tendency of the mind to repeat the mantra again and again. Definitely it is right. Come on, now go with it. And once the faith gets restored inside, now tremendous energy is released. The samshaya vanishes. The wavering stops and mind becomes very clear. Yes, it is. And once it is clear, thief cannot resist. Constantly he will be thinking how to take that, how to take that bag of gold. So we also will be constantly having the tendency, how to hit God, how to hit that jackpot, get that gold, let us meet God. That tendency will be there, giving tremendous motivational power to our sadhana. Then comes samadhana, sama, shama, dama, uparati, titiksha, shraddha, the sixth shat sampati, six treasures, samadhana. It is useful for our worldly household life also. Controlled mind, little forbearance, little faith. Samadhana is a inner quietness, absorption in the mind because of all these practices we have done. External things may be going on, but we will be remaining very calm and quiet inside. A beautiful climate, a very congenial, suitable, convenient climate is created. In the house also sometime we will find when the mind is absorbed, children will be playing, somebody will be doing anything, but you are not disturbed. Especially when mild dose of sleep is coming to you, you will be doing like this. Somebody will be playing, somebody will be switching on the TV, but you are not bothered because you have got an absorption due to known food. Is it not unda mayakam thondai varai, they say in Tamil. Whatever food you have taken, it has created intoxication up to the throat. Slowly you are dozing, and whatever, in the train also, when we start dozing, people will be shouting, talking, nothing. There is an inner quietness, a very great climate is created. When you listen to Arati song, before you start the japa, slowly the mind comes inside, is it not? From the outside world, and there is a very beautiful climate created. It is not trying to jump outside, nor is it going deeply inside, but it is in a state of lull. Like a mother singing the lullaby in the cradle and the baby slowly closing the eyes, opening the eyes, closing the eyes, as if he's going to enter inside. So we are also having, and then slowly bhajan starts. And at the time of bhajans also slowly we feel the mind has become very quiet. After that as we start, but after that immediately we walk off, is it not? Then only we should start. When the mind has gained the ground for quietness, samadhana. So this six characteristic treasures we have to cultivate: shama, dhamma, uparati, titiksha, shraddha, and samadhana. And comes the final blow, and that is the most important, and it should be the first one, and it is the very beginning of our spiritual pursuit. It is called mumukshatvam. Mumukshatva means one is craving for death, wanting to die. Moksha icha. This life is useless and I want to die. Not physically, but the ego must die. The I in me should die so that living one can enter the hall of death. That's what Nachiketa did. The aham bhavana, which causes the attachment, it goes off. The God alone, indweller, stays inside the apartment and the owner is not there. So moksha icha. Moksha is not for Atma. Atma is ever free. Is it not? Brahman is ever free. If you want to have freedom for Brahman, Gaudapada says, this is the first bondage that you are wanting, samadhi. You are already free. Why do you want samadhi? So the freedom is for the jiva. So the jiva should have the desire for moksha. Moksha icha is called mumukshatva. I want to be free from this, all this business of the world. In fact, that is the first quality. It is like a dog whose head is on fire. Madly it is searching for water somewhere. The whole mind says, I want to be out, I want to be out. Sri Ramakrishna says, when first this mumukshatva combined with vairagya and viveka comes, the whole family will seem like a poisonous, dark, deep well. Relatives will appear like cobras. And then the man says, I want to give it up. So mumukshatva with viveka vairagya, shat sampatti, forms the four qualifications for an aspirant. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna pramata. Once that is ready, then Guru says, my work is over now. Even for a great soul like Vivekananda, when Sri Ramakrishna first touched, he told, oh, what are you doing to me? My father and mother are there in the house. But of course, this was the mischief of Sri Ramakrishna. Long before, when Swamiji was in the cradle as a small baby, Sri Ramakrishna went in Sukshma Sharira to his house to see how he is. Because already he has seen that from the Saptarishi Mandala, he is going to be born. So Sri Ramakrishna went to see Narendranath as a small infant baby. Seeing him, Sri Ramakrishna was little disappointed. Fellow, if you leave him like this, he will not stay in this world. Then he folded his hand and prayed to Jagadamba, oh mother, put some maya into him. And when Sri Ramakrishna touched and Swamiji told, oh no, 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 I have got my parents in the house. Sri Ramakrishna smiled and wrote, mother has answered my prayer. This fellow will not run away. He is the one from that Saptarishi Mandala Dhyana Siddha. Never tell this to him. Because moment he understands, he will give up the body then and there. So in this unusual case, in most of the cases, Guru comes to remove the maya. In this case, Guru put the maya inside. Otherwise, the fellow will not stay. And duly he conducted the drama, slowly viveka, vairagya, mumukshatva, and all this comes, and Swamiji is on fire. And the final climax comes with one of the most beautiful scenes in the life of Ramakrishna Vivekananda. In the great master Sharadanaji says, Narendranath was about to give the final year's examination and his head was on fire. So much of vairagya, viveka took possession of him that he threw the books and came running to Sri Ramakrishna, and while coming to Sri Ramakrishna, like a madman possessed, he dashed against a haystack, and all the grasses, they got stuck to his head and the body, and the button unbuttoned, the shirt unbuttoned, and slipper somewhere missing. He came like a mad fellow possessed by ghost. Before that, he was about to leave the house and go to Himalayas to take sannyasa, without even telling Sri Ramakrishna. Then somebody told Sri Ramakrishna is passing through this road, at least just inform him. And he came with a silent mind, without even telling Sri Ramakrishna, making a pranam, quietly he will slip away like a cat. Sharadananji says, the audience there were stuck down, dumb and spellbound by the interaction that took place between this great marvelous teacher and the disciple. And as Narendranath approached, Sri Ramakrishna got up, and Narendranath with folded hands was about to make pranam to Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna put the tender hands on the shoulder of that well-built man, and eyes exchanged glances, and tears started trickling down the cheeks of both these people. And Sri Ramakrishna told, Bolite Dorai, Na Bolite Dorai. I am afraid to tell who you are. I am also afraid not to tell who you are, lest I should lose the invaluable diamond that you are. You are the Saptarishi Mandala person, Rishi, whom I saw in my vision. You have come for the welfare of the humanity. Throwing all this, you will go to Himalayas and become a sannyasi. But if I tell you who you are, that is also dangerous, because immediately you will go back to Saptarishi Mandala. To tell, I am afraid. And not to tell also, I am afraid. I am so worried that I may lose the invaluable diamond, Narendranath, that you are. But luckily, mother's wish prevailed. Narendranath could not go. He understood that Sri Ramakrishna has already tracked his innermost thoughts, and he cancelled the plans. He stayed with Sri Ramakrishna, realized God, and that is one of the reasons we are all here today. So the name bearing Viveka, the very essence of the sadhana, starting with Adav Vivekaha, it leads us to the final goal of Ananda. So in the life of Vivekananda, we will see the sadhana chatushte sampanna pramata, Viveka, Vairagya, Shat Sampatti, Mumukshatva, taking us to the feet of God, which is nothing but permanent Ananda, eternal Ananda. Jai Shri Ramakrishna. It 2 hours.